So hi, welcome to the Good Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Cameron from the band Twin XL.
And we're asking some questions today about their upcoming album, Hyper Fantasia. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response to the announcement so far?
I feel good about it. We've been working on it for the better part of 3 years or something like that. And the fact that people still are excited about new music from us is awesome. And just excited to start putting these songs out into the universe.
Hell yeah. The album fucking rocks.
Dude, it's fucking incredible. What an ass shaker.
Thank you. That's what, you know what? Before we even wrote any songs, I was like, guys, no matter what we do, we have to make an ass shaker.
Mission accomplished on that.
Exactly.
It's mostly for me, though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you need to shake your ass while you're, you know, making it,
on
or else no one else is going to be shaking it.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
I mean, there definitely is. I think so like I said, we've been working on this music for pretty much almost the lifespan of the band, which isn't that long as far as band lifespans go. But you know, we started working on Animal was the first song, that's the only song that's currently out. Maybe by the time this gets posted, there'll be another one. Mm-hmm. But we wrote that song around the same time that we first started touring. Mm-hmm. So we probably wrote somewhere in the wheelhouse of like 50 songs. With the idea that we were going to put this album out. And then we started touring a bunch. So we just started trickling out singles. Then the pandemic happened. Our touring cycle kind of got cut short. We were out with Fits in the Tantrums. And so we started putting out singles during lockdown and stuff like that, carefully. And here we are. So as far as the album title goes, we were like, okay, so like, I feel like there's like three different versions of me on this album. There's like me in a really, really, really great place, on tour, stoked on my band, stoked on life. Then there's me at the worst part of my entire life. And then there's me stoked on life again, you know? Yeah. And so the idea of Hyper Fantasia is like, there's a loose definition where it's like the ability to see vivid colors, like beyond your imagination, and like the full spectrum of everything. So I feel like that embodies this album. That's what this album's about. The album cover, we just wanted to make that look like something. And we found a really fantastic artist that was able to kind of bring that vision to life. So I think it's jarring in a good way, and I think the album is also jarring in a good way as well.
Hell yeah. So, you know, we've obviously spoken to a lot of artists that put that record out in the pandemic. Like, they were just like, fuck it, we got to get it out. So what was kind of like you guys holding back and just like carefully dripping out singles throughout the pandemic?
I don't know. I guess a lot of it, like, I'm like a perfectionist in a lot of ways. And we all four of us are. But for me personally, like, I was like, I was one of those people during the pandemic where I kind of went into like mad scientist mode, where like I was like I was stuck in my room listening to this shit like all day. So I'm just like, I was like, no, it isn't done. You know, like, and in hindsight, we could have just made two albums. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad we did it the way we did. I think because we kept writing different songs, we kept writing better songs, and I'm glad that we have such a versatile album because of that. But yeah, there is no reason really other than that we didn't feel like it was done, you know.
Fair enough.
We always wanted to make a special record, especially because we were touring on this like 6-song EP for like 2.5 years, which by the end of that I was like, well, this doesn't really feel like me anymore because I'm a different person. So I think you know, we just wanted to make something that felt like us, that felt like something we're really proud of, and that, you know, that was it pretty much.
Hell yeah. All right.
Perfect.
So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for this album?
Like I said, like a lot of it was written almost 3 years ago. There's a good handful of songs that was just me, John, and Steven in a room writing songs. There's songs that were written with other writer producers along the way. There's songs that were written over Zoom, like Upgrade, for instance, which is a single we put out last year or the year before. I can't remember. My sense of time is just disintegrated.
We were talking about earlier, good. The lost but, years, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so songs like Upgrade, that song was written over Zoom with some friends of mine. And then there's a song called Over Yet that was written over Zoom, just me, John, and Steven. So yeah, it's kind of all over the place. It was just kind of like whatever made sense at the time. And then we went through all the stuff we had and tried to pick the best stuff, or at least the stuff that made the most sense together as a piece of art, you know?
Yeah. Was there like a learning curve for you, like with the Zoom writing, or did it still come somewhat naturally?
Oh, I think there was a total learning curve for everybody mm-hmm. that did it. I have, it's funny, cause I write a bunch for other artists and stuff too. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I have to, especially during that time, like I was like, I have to wake up and write music or else I'm going to go absolutely insane. So, I have a lot of friends that just didn't want to do it. You know, they were like, whatever, I don't want to do it. I don't want to collaborate with people over a computer screen or whatever. And a lot of people just didn't do it. I actually thought it was kind of cool because I ended up connecting with artists that were based out of the UK or based out of Canada. And I think like the more you do it, the less weird it is. And I actually still write with people in that way today. Like I worked on the most recent Story of the Year album. Oh, nice. And we actually wrote, I did 3 songs with them. We wrote all 3 of those songs over Zoom because they're based in St. Louis and I was in Los Angeles. So, and they ended up coming out to LA and we ended up working in person too. But, I guess that's like a silver lining is like during that time, I did kind of learn to communicate musically that way. And it's something I still do today. So
I had no idea that like there were still people writing over Zoom. Like I figured like that part of the industry just like went straight back to being in person as soon as possible, because we've just heard from so many artists that are like, I never want to do that again. So it's fascinating to me.
I think that's mostly the case, mm-hmm. but, and it's not that often, like every, I don't know, at least like every other once a month or every other month, someone will reach out that wants to write. That's like in a different state or a different country. And I'll usually just do it. And it's usually pretty chill. Like, and I guess the worst case scenario is you just shut your computer screen.
you just hit the exit button and you're gone.
yeah, internet issues.
Yeah. Oh shit, they're breaking up.
No. Most of the time it's pretty chill. I think if you're willing to make it work, and you're willing to do things a little bit differently, then it can be really cool.
Makes sense.
Fuck yeah. Awesome. So what song off this album took longest to write and which one is your personal favorite?
Sorry, what was that?
Which song?
All right, internet issues.
Oh no.
No, I did miss it.
It's all good. Yeah. So what song off this album took longest to write and which one is your personal favorite?
Took the longest to write, I'm not entirely sure of. Most of the time, I'm trying to think, most of the songs on this album, maybe even all of them, were all written within one session, like one day. which could be 2 hours, and it could be like Good, for instance, on our last EP, I think we wrote that song in 3 hours. But on this album, there's definitely songs that took a little longer, like was like a long day. Or maybe stuff, actually, you know what? There's a song called Over Yet that I think we had gone back and forth on quite a bit. And we were kind of, cause we wrote that during lockdown. So we were sending files back and forth, and I was like cutting vocals at home and sending them. And then John would be like, you didn't sing it, you know, I don't like the way you sang this. So I was singing again. And so that would take more time. My favorite song is FBI, hands down. I think it's the best song I've ever written, ever, with anybody. We actually wrote that with Matthew Pauling, who's a phenomenal producer, and Ashton Irwin from 5 Seconds of Summer. And it was just, it was like, I think that song is really unique. I think it embodies what the album is. And I just think it doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard before. And I think that's what we want. That's what we were looking for out of our album. That's what Hyperphantasia is. It's something you never heard before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially that song in particular. Like, obviously, before hearing the record, saw you guys starting to tease it on Instagram, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like, this right. is just so out of left field, but this is so cool. I'm so excited about it. And it is a great song.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
So you actually mentioned, so for your writing process, it's like one session, traditionally one session, you're done. And then do you just like not touch the song ever again until you like get into the studio?
No, like I think then it's like hours and hours of production. Mm-hmm. It's recutting stuff, retracking stuff, or like, I'll be like, I didn't like the way I sang this, or, you know, we'll rework lyrics and things like that. But like really like the bulk of like the song is done in a day usually for us.
That's still fucking crazy. I still can't believe that.
So how'd the track list for the album come about? Did you guys write the opener be the opener, closer be a closer? Did you shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
So the last song on the album, which is called I Don't Want to Die Anymore, I think that was written to be the closer of the album, in my head at least. That was what we were making. We weren't really trying to, a lot of times I feel like you're trying to one-up yourself and write a single, right? Mm-hmm. But this song was the opposite. Like I didn't really care if anyone liked it. I didn't really care if it was a single or if it was like a focus track. Like that wasn't something, a lot of times that's in my head, even if I don't want it to be. For that song, I was like, I just want to make something weird and cool. And that feels like the end of something. And I wanted it to have, I wanted it to be positive. Like, I feel like the title, I Don't Want to Die Anymore, sounds like it could be really bleak, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the song is actually positive, and it's about coming out of something gnarly. And I think that was important to me, that we ended on a positive note, that it did feel optimistic. So when people are done listening, they're like, they went on a journey, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's fitting for like the time period that you guys wrote the record in with it. Mm-hmm. Like you were talking about how like it's almost kind of this rebirth of yourself, or like, you're at this high, you met this low, and you're back at this high again. It all kind of ties it all together.
Totally. Yeah. I think just because of when we made this album, that was inevitable. Mm-hmm. Looking at it now, like as if I, but in the moment of making almost every single song, I didn't know that. I was like, maybe this is it. We're all going out or whatever. We're going to be in this room forever. But no, I wanted to make that song feel conclusive. The first song is called Try. That song was written quite a while ago, maybe like 2 years ago. And that song just felt like just the catchy. There's some songs that are on the album that just feel like Twin XL, or at least in our heads, what Twin XL is. And that, the catchy guitar riff and the way I'm singing just coming in right away, and like the energy of it felt right. The last one we wanted to do is go put out an album that feels like you're trying to be the Beatles or something. So we wanted to make sure it still had the elements of what a good Twin XL album should be. And so, you know, but then all the stuff in the middle, a lot of those songs are already out, mm-hmm. like Lemonade and Slow Heart and Upgrade. And at one point we had some of the other singles on it. And we took some of those off. Like, I don't think Messy is on it. And we put that out a long time ago. Like, there was some stuff that like the label wanted on the album. But we were like, this song is like 4 years old now. Yeah. So like, we're not putting it on the album. Yeah. We wanted to put as much new stuff on as we could.
Hell yeah.
For sure. And you said that kind of when you're writing, you have it in the back of your head where you're like, oh, this could be like the single or this could be the focus track. How do you kind of battle that when you're writing to kind of make something more authentic versus possibly putting yourself mentally in a box? You know, when you're making something, you can be like, oh, like we can't be funny with this or we can't be weird with this song because it might not be the big single if we do this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I just constantly battle with it.
It's a never ending battle.
Yeah. Well, it's like because you have like one thing that worked one time and. Yeah. You're always going to try to like, you're like, oh, well that, you know, you're like, that's what people liked. So that's what people want. Mm-hmm. But honestly with FBI, which is really the focus single of the album, that's the weirdest song I ever made. Mm-hmm. And it sounds nothing like anything else I've ever made with anyone else or for Twin XL. So, I definitely battle with it. I think it's easy to fall into that cycle and into that trap. Mm-hmm. But I'm always kind of just looking for those moments where that doesn't matter anymore. And you're just making, actually, in fact, when we worked on FBI, I remember thinking, I was like, this is not a Twin XL song. I was like, this is never gonna go on the Twin XL album. That was just what I thought. I was like, this is a weird song. And then I sent it, you know, to some friends and like, this is awesome. This is the cool. So it just kind of worked out that way. I don't know. It's a constant struggle. It's a lot of, I don't know. It's just finding those little moments in between stuff where nothing makes sense. And then all of a sudden it does.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. Awesome. So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this record?
I mean, that's such a hard question just because, like, it was in so many places. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, yeah, again, there's songs like Try, which is the first song on the album, which I think we were just having fun making a Twin XL song, and it sounded cool, and it had an energy to it, and that was how we were feeling. And then there's songs like FBI, which was written during like a darker time when for me at least, where I was just in an absolute state of paranoia and weirdness, you know. It's just all over the place. I think because of how long it took us to write the album and to put it together, it really is hyperphantasia. It really is the utmost vivid full spectrum of visual shit that you could possibly put into one album.
Oh yeah. All right. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should they do it in the car with friends and dark with headphones on? Is it a workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
How do I want people to listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
For that first listen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever you want. It's funny because I feel like I write so many songs for so many different things or different purposes, and I always assume that everyone is just clicking it on their phone and doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So honestly, if that's your jam, just go for it. or you could do, this is what we used to do on tour before there was like little, you know, portable boom speakers and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you were in a hotel room, you would take your cell phone and put it in the trash can because it like made it.
Yeah.
So I think everyone should listen to it like that.
In a trash can? Hell yeah.
Totally.
It's fucking ridiculous. I love it. So this one should be super, super quick off top of your head. I want you to describe this album for new listeners in three words. No more, no less.
Spectacular, dreary, and exhilarating.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Great words.
Mm-hmm. Those are just the cool, those are just the biggest words I know.
I mean, it all goes in with the record. The album title's long, so do the words that describe it, you know?
Exactly.
So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the album?
Oh, just whatever you're feeling, I suppose. And I hope it makes people happy. That's really always the goal, or makes you feel something. Or, you know, for me, I'm the type of person that I like to listen to sad songs when I'm sad, because it's like I have a friend or something. And I like to listen to happy songs when I'm happy. So I think there's a good mix of stuff on this. I think no matter what you're feeling, you're going to enjoy the album.
Hell yeah.
Sure. So are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this album, positive or negative?
Yeah, I mean, I think being in a band itself is challenging. I think you take one creative person that has this idea of what they want to do, or what they want, you know, what they hope they do, is hard enough. And then you take four people, and then that's a whole other challenge. I think just being in a band is a challenge in itself, especially a band like ours, where it really is a democracy. And it really is everybody putting in an equal hand in everything, whether it's visual stuff, recording, writing, what songs are going to go on the album, what songs aren't. I think we're very much a unit when we do it, and I think that's something that we've always wanted to keep with this band. Like if that's not the case, then we're not going to do it at that time. So I think that's a challenge in itself. I think the circumstance of, you know, of when we were supposed to make the album was out of our control, but that's okay. You know, we still made it happen. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think there's always going to be challenges, but it's really not about that. It's really about how you overcome that and where you end up. And I think for us, we always knew this album was going to come out, and we always knew it was going to come out at the right time. And I feel like we made that happen, and I'm very proud of what we made.
Hell yeah.
As you should be.
So for this question, I want you to picture you're on tour. You're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
Snack of choice. It's like I'm getting like PTSD from like being in a band. I don't know. Definitely not the egg salad.
Oh.
I don't know, some cashews or something. I feel like when you're eating at a rest stop, you're just like trying to get something that'll help you keep going. Mm-hmm. So anything like that. Gatorade.
Mm-hmm. What color?
Gatorade Zero, Glacier Ice.
The white one.
The white one. Yeah. Okay. Weird choice, but okay.
You know, isn't that one like cherry flavored?
I don't know. They all just taste like Gatorade.
that's fair. That's fair.
I'm big on Celsius right now.
Mm.
Like everybody is.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm doing the Celsius energy drinks. I used to drink Red Bull, and I can't imagine that anymore.
Yeah. Never really a big fan of Red Bull. I always like the V8 energy drinks.
Those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Live off them.
But, just only V8.
Yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, V8. So on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
What dish would the band be? I think we'd be like a nice quiche. like a breakfast quiche.
Any explanation? Do you know why, or do you just vibe with that? You fuck with that.
It seems like classy yet portable.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right.
That's good enough. So for the last couple of questions, we're going to shift completely away from music. So if you could be one animal for the rest of your life, what animal would you be and why?
If I could be one animal, I would be a beaver. Just, you know, building dams and hanging out. I don't know. It seems like a chill life.
Fuck yeah. All right.
Did you know that beavers carry their babies like humans do? Like they carry them like in front of them?
It's like the... Yeah. Like
this. Just kidding. Do you carry children with one hand? Like
you just grab them by the neck.
No. No. They're like this, right?
They kind of hold them like this, just like in front of them. It's really cute. Yeah, exactly like that. You'd be a great beaver.
I love beavers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. So if you could have lunch with any celebrity or artist, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Any celebrity or artist, dead or alive? Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know. I don't really think about that much. I'm going to think about it, though.
Okay.
Who's a cool celebrity that's dead? John Lennon. I'll be like, what was with the glasses?
It's a great starter question.
Yeah, those are a look for sure.
Mm.
I think I feel like he started those kind of.
Yeah.
There's a good chance he did.
Yeah.
He's like the only person I've seen wear those like ever.
Yeah, true. So
he started and ended those.
They were so cool, only he could wear them. So for this last question, boom, you're on a desert island. You can bring one movie, one album, and one person. Who and what are you bringing?
Oh, that's pretty easy. So desert island, I would bring Back to the Future Part 2. Album, I would bring now I'm stumped. Yeah. Honestly, makes me feel good. I would bring Blink-182 Untitled record, and I would bring my girlfriend.
Nice. All right.
Love it.
So as I said, that's all the questions you have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
No, not in particular. Just I hope people enjoy the album. Obviously, I'm sure our links for that will be on your video and mm-hmm. all that stuff. In the
description.
Yeah. Looking forward to having new music out in the world.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for now. This has been Cameron from TwinXL, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.